Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester. Thank you so much for letting me in your ear once again. The doors of the Jazz Treasury are wide open for anyone to come in and take a look anytime at the history of jazz from its roots, celebrating the jazz of the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s, and all of its contributions to today's music. And today we look at the music of Lester Young, and we learn a little bit about the man. Everybody called him Prez, short for the President. He used to describe the process of playing jazz as telling your story, and the story of Lester's life is there for all to hear in his records. That is why this selection is arranged roughly in the order in which the pieces were recorded over a period of 10 years, from the boundless optimism of a brilliant young man of 27 through the confident masterpieces of early maturity to the growing introspection of approaching middle age. Lester Young was a saxophonist who introduced an approach to improvisation that provided much of the basis for modern jazz solo conception. The impact of Lester Young's style was so broad that he has been cited as a favorite by such diverse modern jazz figures as Charlie Parker, Stan Getz, and John Coltrane. Much of the West Coast cool style was a product of Lester Young's approach. He was so important that singer Billie Holiday called him President of Tenor Saxophonists, and he was known thereafter as Prez. Shoeshine Boy, recorded in Chicago in 1936. And it's a small band here. Carl Smith on trumpet, Lester Young on tenor, Count Basie playing piano here with Walter Page on bass and Joe Jones on drums. Chicago, 1936. This is the very first number recorded at Lester's very first recording session. But all the qualities that made him such a powerful influence and such a complete contrast to Hawkins are already in place. The tone is smooth and delicate with almost no vibrato. The notes are quite simple, often just two or three repeated, but they are rapped out with great vigor. The practiced ease with which they play together shows the musicians know each other very well indeed.
Thank you.
Music was a trade of the Young family. Willis H., or Billy, Young was the leader of a traveling carnival band, and as his three children grew out of their infancy, they were all put to learning instruments. Lester, the eldest, was born on August 27, 1909, in Woodville, Mississippi. His sister, Irma, was a saxophonist, and his brother, Lee, later became a well-known drummer. At first, Lester played the drums, but he switched to the saxophone in his early teenage years because, as he later explained, the drums restricted his social life. By the time he had packed them away, all the prettiest girls had gone. Taxi War Dance. And this has a rather large big band, recorded in New York City in 1939. Now, this was written by Count Basie and Lester Young, and it features Buck Clayton, Ed Lewis, Harry Edison, and Shad Collins on trumpet, Dickie Wells and Benny Morton, Dan Miner on trombones, Earl Warren on sax, Lester Young and Buddy Tate on tenor sax, Jack Washington on bass, Count Basie piano, Freddie Green guitar, and Walter Page on bass, Joe Jones on drums. Wow. Taxi War Dance. This was Lester's own favorite of all his recorded solos with Basie. It opens with a twisted quotation from Old Man River and glides along for 32 bars with the poised relaxation that only the greatest jazz masters can achieve. The infuriating thing about him, as far as other musicians were concerned, was that he made it all sound so easy. The piece itself is a compilation of riffs and solos and typical Basie number of the period. Although he spent his earliest days near New Orleans, Lester Young lived in Minneapolis by 1920. Playing in a legendary family band, he studied violin, trumpet, and drums, starting on alto at age 13. Because he refused to tour in the South, Young left home in 1927 and instead toured with Art Bronson's Bostonians, switching to tenor. He was back with the family band in 1929 and then freelanced for a few years, playing with Walter Page's Blue Devils, 1930, Eddie Bearfield in 1931, and back with the Blue Devils during 1932-1933, and Benny Moten and King Oliver, 1933. He was with Count Basie for the first time in 1934, but left to replace Coleman Hawkins with Fletcher Henderson. Unfortunately, it was expected that Young would try to emulate Hawk, and his laid-back sound angered Henderson's sidemen, resulting in Prez not lasting long. And after a tour with Andy Kirk and a few brief jobs, Lester Young was back with Basie in 1936, just in time to star with the band as they headed east. And this piece here, interestingly, they went on to record another take immediately after this one, although it's hard to imagine that anyone thought they could improve on it. Benny Morton's warm-toned, absolutely straight-opening chorus has a gentle, effortless swing. We had Billy Holiday on vocals, Buck Clayton on trumpet, Benny Morton on trombone, Lester Young playing tenor, Teddy Wilson on the piano, Freddie Green on guitar, Walter Page on bass, and Joe Jones on drums. Recorded in New York City, 1938. Let's listen to When You're Smiling.
Listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
Young made history during his years with Basie, not only participating on Count's record dates, but starring with Billie Holiday and Teddy Wilson on a series of classic small group sessions. In addition, on his rare recordings on clarinet with Basie and the Kansas City Six, Young displayed a very original, cool sound that almost sounded like altoist Paul Desmond in the 1950s. After leaving Count in 1940, Young's career became a bit aimless, not capitalizing on his fame in the jazz world. He co-led a low-profile band with his brother, drummer Lee Young, in Los Angeles, until rejoining Basie in December 1943. Young had a happy 9 months back with the band. recorded a memorable quartet session with bassist Slam Stewart, and starred in the short film Jammin' the Blues before he was drafted. His experiences dealing with racism in the military were horrifying, affecting his mental state of mind for the remainder of his life. How about I Can't Get Started? This is a classic. And this is with a trio structure. I Can't Get Started, Lester Young on tenor, Nat Cole on piano, and Red Callender on bass, Los Angeles, 1942. Lester was working with Lee's band at the Trowville Club when he made this session with the rising young piano star, Nat King Cole, and bassist Red Callender. This is the closest we can get to the beginnings of the big change in Lester's playing, just slightly heavier than a couple of years before. His tone still retains much of its youthful bloom, but there is a new lingering, reflective feeling about his whole approach. Let's listen to I Can't Get Started. Thank you. These Foolish Things. This was recorded back in 1945, and it features Dodo Marmarosa on piano, Freddie Green on guitar, Red Callender on bass, Henry Tucker Green on drums, recorded in 1945 in Los Angeles. Dispensing with the original tune, Lester creates a seamless 3-minute improvisation of great wistfulness, lightened by occasional touches of humor. The idea that his experiences in the army had broken his spirit and ruined his playing, which is still occasionally peddled by critics, is proved to be patent nonsense by this wonderful performance. There is, though, a melancholy air about it that wasn't there before, as of a man contemplating an uncertain future. Let's listen to These Foolish Things by Lester Young. Although many critics have written that Lester Young never sounded as good after getting out of the military, despite erratic health, he actually was at his prime in the mid to late 40s. He toured and was well paid by Norman Granz with Jazz at the Philharmonic, on and off through the 1940s and 1950s. made a wonderful series of recordings with Aladdin and worked steadily as a single. Young also adopted his style well to bebop, which he had helped pave the way for in the 1930s. But mentally, he was suffering, building a wall between himself and the outside world, and inventing his own colorful vocabulary. After becoming ill in Paris in early 1959, Lester Young came home and essentially drank himself to death. And many decades after his death, Prez is still considered, along with Coleman Hawkins and John Coltrane, one of the three most important tenor saxophonists of all time. And those of you who are regular listeners to the Jazz Treasury podcast know, occasionally I like to sneak in a modern track, and I'm going to do that right now with James Carter, a great saxophonist. In this particular track, Sophisticated Lady, James Carter is playing baritone sax. He plays alto, tenor, and baritone, but on this one, Sophisticated Lady, he plays baritone sax. And it's on the album entitled JC on the Set, released in 1994 on Columbia Records. So let's listen to James Carter. And he's playing with, he's playing with Craig Tuborn on piano and Jarboo Shahid on bass. This is James Carter on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. Well, that's it for this episode of the Jazz Treasury with Rich Sylvester. Thank you so much for joining in. Thank you so much to the over 10,000 subscribers out around the world. So until next time, where we will feature the music of Jazz Voices, the men. Until that time, enjoy the jazz.